Welcome to Tax Planning with a 1.4% 75-20 rate. I'm Bob Keebler, and I'll be your host. Joining me today is Jonathan Blockmacher, one of the broadly recognized experts on the mathematics of and the economics of estate tax. Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you very much, Bob. Glad to be here.
Jonathan, let's start with the question, the very broad question. Which transactions seem to work best at a 1.4% 75-20 rate?
Well, Bob, that's a very insightful question. By way of background, that's the lowest Section 75-20 rate we've ever had. It's extraordinarily low. It's possible it could go a little bit lower, but it's just about rock bottom because it could never get actually to zero. But there are some transactions that are going to work very, very well in a comparative sense than high rates. One of those, of course, is our friend the grantor retained annuity trust, because you put property in a trust and you essentially say, pay me back the value of what I put in with an interest factor of 1.4% per year. So in theory, for example, if you did a one-year grant, we don't know if you can do one, but I'll just use it for illustrations. I put $1 million in a trust. I only have to get back $1,011,040. I mean, it's almost no growth at all. And if I grow, say, 2%, 3%, 4%, that excess growth is going to go to my family, my children, free of any estate gift taxes at all, which is a great deal. Another one where it can work very well is a charitable lead trust. And especially if you have a charitable lead trust where the payments start very, very low and then increase as the regulations on charitable lead trust permit, you're very likely to have money left over for your descendants entirely free of estate and gift taxes. So those are a couple of the ones.
Jonathan, how does it work if you do a grant but you die during the grant term?
Well, the IRS about 4 years ago issued final regulations under Section 2036A1 relating to how much of a grant would be includable in the estate of the grantor if the grantor died during the retained annuity term. Basically, what you do is you take the annuity payment for the year in which the decedent grantor died and you divide it by the then Section 75-20 rate. Not the rate that you used in determining the value of interest when you set the trust up, but the rate that's in effect for the month in which you die. If the rate is very low, as it is right now, the amount included is higher because you're dividing it, in effect, by a much smaller number. So, for example, if you have a trust that, let's say, the annuity is $100,000 for the year of your death, and the 75-20 rate were 10%, you divide 0.1 into $100,000, and you'd get $1 million. If it were 0.1, when it's not that low, it's 1.4, but if it were 0.1 and you divided it into 100,000, you would have a value of 10 million. But in no case can it be more than the amount that's in the trust at date of death. By the way, the Treasury has announced that it's going to be issuing regulations on what happens where you have increasing annuity payments. It didn't address those in those final regulations, but it says it will in the future. So what I just said is only for a level payment grant, not one where the annuity payment increases as time goes on, as many grants are structured to do.
Jonathan, many people have observed that there's an anomaly. When the rates are low and they go back up, and you can actually end up with less inclusion than where you started. For example, if you put $1 million into a grant and rates shot up, the way the regs work, potentially you would include less in your estate if you died with a higher 75-20 rate. Now, to make this work, you need to have a fairly long-term grant, and this technique has commonly become known as the 100-year grant. Can you walk us through how this works?
Sure. What happens is, although it kind of runs counter to what you might think, you would create a grant to work less, let's say, for 100 years. And you would probably make it a level payment grant. So, for example, you might say, if I put $1 million into the trust, you would work out a payment where the payment is going to be a little bit above 1.4% of the initial value each year. So you would pay that 1.4%, which would be $14,000. You'll pay a little bit more than that for your entire lifetime, and that annuity is now frozen. Let's say it's $15,000 a year. Well, again, if you're dividing it by a very tiny number, like a 0.014 with a 1.4% 75/20 rate, you're going to be back up to $1 million, or mathematically possibly even a little bit more, although it can never be more than the amount that's in the trust at the time you die. And certainly if you do a 100-year grad, you are going to die definitely during that term. But if interest rates rise, then because you're dividing it by a much larger number, you're going to wind up having a much smaller amount. So let me just give you an example. As Bob said, you put $1 million in the trust, and let's assume that the 75/20 rate is 1.4%. I say to pay me $15,000 a year, slightly more than the 1.4% for 100 years. And in 100 years, it would zero out. That's why you're paying more, so you don't have any gift tax due. So in effect, if you die, and if it's still 1.4 or 1.5, you're going to have $1 million back in the estate. But if you took that same $15,000 payment, and if you divided, let's say the 75/20 rate shot up to, let's say, 15%, and I only use that as an extraordinary illustration, then the amount includable in the estate is only going to be $150,000. I'm sorry, $100,000. So you had $1 million trust, but only $100,000 would be included. And one of the things, Bob, that makes these 100-year grads so attractive is that it's likely that if you're relatively young, let's say you're 60, 65, 50 years old, even 70, if you live for a number of years, there's a reasonably good chance that interest rates are going to rise. These low interest rates we're experiencing right now are the same interest rates we experienced after World War II. But over time, those interest rates went up again, and I don't think there's much question in anyone's mind that whether it's 5 years or 3 years or 10 years, but certainly over a period of a couple of decades, you're going to see interest rates increase. One of the things that, by the way, can be done then is to buy the grantor's interest out. Even though you can't commute the grantor's interest in a grant, you can make it saleable, and I've actually done that. So if interest rates went way up, the grantor could sell it for its full fair market value at much less than in the trust, and therefore the grantor would have been able to transfer the property without any gift or estate tax whatsoever if interest rates rise, even during his or her lifetime, and not have to wait till death, because you won't know at death whether the interest rates are low, which means you may not get an awful lot out of your estate, or high, which means you get a tremendous amount out of your estate. So that, Bob, is something very worthwhile to look into.
So, Jonathan, give us a couple of client profiles where this might actually fit.
Sure. And, Bob, one of the things with a 100-year grant that people like is that they don't lose payments for their entire lifetime. Most estate planning arrangements we know, whether it's a grant, whether it's a charitable lead trust, whether it's a CUPERT, whether it's straight gifts, whether it's an installment sale to a grantor trust, which is also benefited by low interest rates, and you could even make an argument that installment sales to grantor trusts are even better than grants, even under these circumstances, you wind up giving up property to someone else, hopefully, before you die. Well, there are clients, for example, let's say, Bob, people that you wouldn't want to represent, the little people, let's say, with those with $10 million or less, you wouldn't waste your time on those. But some of us are forced to actually work with those poor people. Those are the ones who really can't afford to give up a massive amount of wealth. But here, with a 100-year grant, they can retain the right to distributions for the rest of their lives. So they get an income stream or an annuity stream for the rest of their lives, and that's really beneficial for them. So someone who isn't even super rich, who says, gee, I'd be willing to give it up when I die, but, you know, the law says it's includable in my estate. But here, with low interest rates, you can be relatively certain not all of it will be includable in your estate. And so for those of what I might call the low wealthy, the $10 million to $20 million people, a significant 100-year grantor retained annuity trust is well worthwhile looking at. May not decide to do it for a lot of reasons, but it's certainly worth looking at. And for the super rich, you know, maybe they do an even bigger number, and yet they can retain the right to it for the rest of their lives. Or if interest rates rise markedly, maybe they'll sell it out and be able to move a lot of assets out of their estate while they're still alive. And of course, you probably want to sell it to a grantor trust at that point during lifetime, so there'd be no income tax gain recognition.
So finally, simplistically, if we were on October 30th, about a month from now, and there was a very wealthy person that was about to die, and we knew the November 75-20 rate was going from 1.4 back to 2%, there would be an immediate opportunity there, and it almost creates, in my mind, a heads-you-win, tails-you-tie scenario that I don't think you can end up any worse off than if you hadn't tried. Is that about sum it up?
Bob, I think that does just about sum it up. It's just a phenomenal opportunity for people, because if you had the $1 million going into a trust where it was 1.4%, say paying out 15% a year, and interest rates did rise, and we'll know before October 30, but let's say, you know, you forecast the death is going to be happening in November, and possibly people would be kept artificially alive. You would remove 25% of the trust from the client's estate. Amazing. You'd create your grant, let's say, you know, I don't know if you get it done on October 31st, but if, you know, you did it, you know, October 28th. And by the way, even if the person dies before the beginning of November, it's, you haven't lost anything. But if they make it to November, and you'll know probably by the 18th and 19th of October what the Section 75-20 rate's going to be for November. So if that rate's going to rise from 1.4 back to something above that, why not do it? It could be a very effective strategy.
Jonathan, on behalf of Lineberg Information Services, I just want to thank you so much for being with us today. You're always a wealth of insight on these new and cutting-edge techniques. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Bob.